see in reading these verses, and in verse 8, it said, you received faith because we preached the word to you. So faith comes by hearing because somebody has told you what God has said. Now, back in those days, not everybody had a Bible that they could look up on their phone or bring to church or leave on the coffee table or whatever. They didn't have that. So they had to have it spoken to them. They went to the synagogue and there were readings that happened about the Word of God. But here's what happened for us. I pick up this Bible and I say, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to me in this. And we get a promise that's in the Word of God and we say, Lord, I'm putting this in my heart. And the faith that you've given to me, Lord, I'm going to operate and I'm going to believe you for this promise, even though everything seems contrary, right? And I'm going to hold fast to that. I'm not going to stop with that. I'm not going to quit with that. And watch this. I am not going to let come out of my mouth unbelief. Right? Why? Because your mouth, watch this, a thought, this is very interesting, but a thought is not solidified in your life until you give it credence by letting it come out of your mouth. I'll just give you an example. Have you ever been mad at somebody? Right. You're somebody that's significant to you. But you don't let that be established in your relationship until it gets out of your head and comes out of your mouth. But if you figure this out, once it comes out of your mouth, it's really hard to put back in there. I wish I wouldn't have said that. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, I knew I shouldn't have said that. But once you've said it, you've established it. So what we have to do is we have to get into the Word and begin to establish that by saying it. Does that make sense? Again, verse 9 of chapter 10 says this. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, according to this, what do you have to do to be saved? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. Why are those two things important? Because as you know, people can say anything. But if they don't believe it, it doesn't actually take root. But when they believe it, and they say it, it establishes it. And so that's true for us too. I can tell you what you believe if I listen to you long enough. I mean, because we can be here tonight, or we can be here on Sunday, or we can be here at any time and go, yes, I believe God is going to take care of me. I have nothing to worry about. I refuse to worry. And then we get together for coffee, and you, or I see your Facebook post. And I see, come on, how much doubt and unbelief and worry. Then you said it with your mouth, but you don't really believe it in your heart. Because if you truly believed it in your heart, you would not let it come out of your mouth. Right? It's like this. Lord, I just believe that you saved me because I did this. But then the next day you go, I don't know if I'm saved or not. See, doubt can come to try to to take out or to dilute what you believe. But if you come back to the Word and say, I'm not basing this on my feelings, the substance that I have for this to come to pass is what God has said. Let me just give you an example. How many have ever dealt with anxiety, worry, frustration? Okay, hold your place there. I wasn't going to go there, but let's go. Because we need to establish these things. We have to get them in our heart and our mind. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And look at verse 4. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. We're talking about faith, but how do I get to faith in the peace of God? I get it by establishing that God said, if I pray about it, I can thank Him that I have the answer and that He's got control of the thing. And so therefore, my heart and my mind are guarded by the promise that God has given. So what do you do when anxiety comes? Thoughts of it. You speak to the anxiety. Come on. And you hold fast to what God has promised. God said, look at, devil, I just want to read this to you again one time because you're kind of bothering me with some thoughts. And sometimes you're going to drive people away because you're going to quote the word when they come against what you're going through, right? Is this making sense to anybody? He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So in these few verses, he said, first of all, you got to rejoice always. How do I do that? You believe that God is with you, and then you open your mouth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, things aren't going exactly right. Hallelujah. You know, things are going good. Hallelujah. Things are bad. Hallelujah. Why? Because God is with me. And at the end of the day, my faith says that I'm just passing through this. What I'm going through now is nothing to be compared with the eternal weight of glory. What does that mean? That means I'm going to be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. And the joy that is set before me, I can endure whatever comes to me. But I'm not just going to sit there. I'm going to do these things so that I can get from there to the peace of God. And then he goes on to talk about what you're thinking about. See, what you're thinking about is imperative to what whether faith is involved or whether doubt is overwhelming. Right? So let's go through this list and let's process your day. Let's process your thoughts right now. Right now. Finally, brother and sister, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue or if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we have to be careful what we're hearing. And then we need to meditate on what God has said. So how do we get faith? We concentrate on what God has said and push out anything that's contrary to it. Does that make sense? Come on, that's good. It's good. It's good. Because He's worthy. It's awesome. All right, we could go more on those, but go back to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And again, let's look at verse 9. For if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. What does it mean to be saved? Forgiven? Yeah. What else? Come on. Yeah. Yeah, eternal life, absolutely. All of those things are true. But in the Greek, this word is sozo. Sozo, S-O-Z-O. What it means is saved, delivered, protected, healed, preserved to do well, and make whole. So if I confess the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, I'm saved from eternity without God. That's good. I'm saved from the condemnation that the enemy would try to bring against me. What does that mean? The enemy is like the prosecuting attorney up in heaven, and he's going, look at Bruce, you see what he did? You know, he deserves some punishment there. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit is my advocate. And he said, oh, just a minute. The blood has been applied. So therefore, he's not guilty because Jesus is not guilty. Is that cool? That's cool. But this means more than that. It means that I've been delivered. Did you know that everything is needed to get Satan off your back has already been done? But you have to stand in what God has said. Right? In fact, you know the only fight that a Christian is supposed to fight is the fight of faith. The good fight of faith. What does that mean? I'm living by my faith. I believe this, and so I'm going to live like it's true no matter what. If God said it, I believe it. If God, you know, if God be for me, who can be against me? Come on. Saved, healed. Let's look at a couple of places where this is brought in. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Hallelujah. Look at this in verse 21, Matthew 1, 21. And this is the angel talking to Joseph. He said, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Right? Saved is the sozo. He'll sozo them from their sins. He'll heal them. He'll deliver them. He'll protect them. He'll take care of them from their sins. Go to 8:25. Matthew 8 and verse 25. And listen to this. So the disciples are in the boat, right? And the storms come and the storms all around. But verse 25 says, and then his disciples came to him, awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. Lord, sozo us, protect us, keep us safe in the middle of this storm, sozo us. And go on to the next verse. Hold just a minute. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. Look at this. They said, save us! He said, I am with you. Why don't you believe that I am the one who saves? So now watch it. What storm are you going through? What's going on in your life? Do you believe that God's with you? Then be at peace in the middle of the storm because you know that God is going to get you to the other side. Right? Come on. And really, what can man do to me anyway? I've been saved. I've been delivered. I've been protected. I've been healed. My heart is cleansed because of what Jesus has done. Go to chapter 9. Chapter 9. And this is the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Well, let's start at verse 20. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. I shall be sozoed. That's the same word. I shall be sozoed. I shall be healed. I shall be delivered. I shall be all right if I can touch the hem of his garment. Now, we have this promise. She didn't have it yet. But because of the blood of Jesus, we can come boldly before the throne of grace and receive help in the time of need. So we don't have to go, I hope he'll be there. I got to touch his garment. We can say, no, I've already got access to the sozo power of God that's for me. Isn't that good? It's so good. It's true. It's absolutely true. Now go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I know we're doing a lot of scripture tonight, but that's okay. In fact, that's good. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll get there in a minute. Let's start at verse 5. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you've been sozoed, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been sozoed, through faith, that not of yourself, but it's a gift of God. So, how is sozo given out? By grace, right? It's first by grace you've been sozoed. But it's for everybody who will believe. Did you know that? Everybody in the world has access to this grace that we're talking about right here. But it's by faith. What is faith? Faith is, God said it, I say, okay. I believe it, and therefore I'm not just believing it with my mouth. This is now my stand for the rest of eternity. Right? This is the line of demarcation. I'm coming into Christ and I'm not going away. But once I do, I've been sozoed. I've been saved from hell. I've been delivered from the enemy. I've been healed. Come on, by his stripes, I'm healed. Right? He's already cleansed my conscience from evil works. It says in Hebrews chapter 10. I've been sozoed. But what do I need to do? What happens, though, as you start walking out this life, anything that God has given to you, you start walking it out, and the enemy, or your past, or your friends, or especially the TV, will tell you something different. But your faith has to be established on what God has said, and you have to quit listening to the unbelief and feed the belief. How do you get rid of unbelief? You feed yourself on the Word. You get the Bible out and you start going over the promises of God. In the midst of the storm, you have to have a promise to hold on to. How do you get rid of unbelief? Renita has a saying, and it's really good. Which most of hers are. I hope you're listening. Most of hers are. But she says, starve the cat. Starve the cat. Now, here's the reference. You have a stray cat that's coming to your house, and it's meowing at your door, and you can't understand why it's coming back. Well, it's because you're feeding it. So if you want to get rid of it, starve it. I've had people who've had people interested in them. And they've been nice and they've been kind. I said, well, that's okay, but you need to starve the cat. Right? Once you've said something and once you've kind of indicated that and they still are persistent, starve the cat. Don't talk to them. Don't give them any encouragement, because if you do, they're going to be at the door meowing. So what do we need to do with doubt? We need to starve the cat. Right? If God says that He's going to meet all of my needs, I got to quit looking at my bills and being overwhelmed by them. Now, that's not a license to not do anything about them, but you pray and you say, God, I thank You that You're going to show me the way to make all of my needs met. Most of the time, watch this, God doesn't get up there and say, oh, Bruce, he needs some money. Okay, angel, take this bag of gold and just drop it on his lap. At that, I'm not opposed to that now. I'm not saying that you can't do that. But what He said to Peter, when Peter talked to Him about his taxes, He said, go fishing. Why? Because that's what Peter did. Go fishing, and in the first fish you catch, you'll get a coin. In other words, our provision is in acting on what God tells us to do. Some people sitting at home are, man, I can't do this, I can't get this, I don't know why a job isn't coming to me. You know, I'm available for a job, but it's, well, what have you done about it? Well, I'm believing God. No, you have to act on it. You have to start doing something. God's got His part, but you got your part. Amen? Woo! So, for by grace you have been sozoed through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So everything God does for us, we need to rejoice in, because it's a gift that He's given to us. Lord, I'm just living in Your peace. I thank You for Your peace. I just want to give You praise and glory and honor. Lord, in the midst of this situation, You're going to see me through. For by faith we've been saved. Go to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And again, I think that sometimes, and it could be just semantics, because we have to renew our minds so that we can push out doubt, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we need to have the input of the Word coming, because what are we doing? We're feeding our spirits, we're feeding our minds, we're feeding our hearts, and that's where we can build up a confidence of what God has said. But in Acts chapter 11, I'm sorry, Acts 11. And look at verse 13, Acts 11, 13. No, let's go to verse 12. Oh, this is so interesting. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, send to men to Joppa for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all of your house will be sozoed. And he began to speak. The Holy Spirit fell upon them and upon us as at the beginning. And then they remembered the word of the Lord and how He said, John indeed baptized you with the Holy Spirit, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, God gave them the same gifts when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that I could not withstand God. So what's He saying? He said, this is what happened. We preached the Word. They believed the Word of God. They did what we did in the beginning, and they received the same gift as we've got. Now what's particular about this is that they were Gentiles. And to the Jew, that was impossible. You shouldn't even go talk to them. But the blood of Jesus has made it so that everybody who will can. I'm glad because I'm not a Jew. Right? But watch this. We need to come back to the place where we're looking at everybody as a potential candidate for the grace of God. But how are they going to come if we don't preach? Now, I'm not talking about getting up on a soapbox and say, you sit down and listen to me. But we need to declare at every opportunity what God has done for us. We need to declare what the Word says about salvation. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How does our faith come? By hearing. How does your faith grow? By hearing. By meditating. By standing on what the Word says. And when doubt comes against that Word, you got to drive it out. You got to say, nope, not here. Not here. Not here. And again, every promise of God needs to be allocated by faith. Every promise of God is a gift from God that's given because He wanted to give it. Yet, so much of the time, we're saying, if I only pray enough, maybe if I fast enough, maybe if I read enough, that will cause God to give me something. Well, the reality is, God is never going to give you anything that He's not already given you. Because He finished the work 2,000 years ago when Jesus went to the cross. So I'm not looking for healing. I'm appropriating the healing that He's already provided. I'm not looking for Him to take me to heaven. I'm appropriating the blood that was shed in my place in the moment that I gave my heart to Jesus, my stance in heaven. We read it in Ephesians that I'm seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now. I'm here in Port Orchard at the gym, but I'm also seated with Christ in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just believe that when we get to heaven, it's going to be an amazing day, obviously. But if there's something inside of us that's going to, yeah, I've been here all the time. I've been here all, I feel at home here. I feel at peace here. This is home. This is where I belong. All right. Oh, it's time to close. We'll pick it up. Are you getting anything? Would you like to hear some more of this? Right? I want your faith to grow. I want my faith to grow. I want our faith to be established in the fact that God has already given me faith. And I need to get everything out of the way that's trying to keep that faith from operating. So I'm going to push doubt out. I'm not going to allow it to come in. Right? What have I received by faith? Everything that God has given to me. Everything that God has given to me. Glory to God. This church, we don't have a fallback system, right? I can't call the denomination and say, hey, look, you know, we're kind of light this month. Could you help supplement us? And all of you will testify, hopefully, that I'd never stand up here and say, boy, if you don't give, I'm going to go under. And try to pull money out of your wallet. I'll never do that. Why? Because my faith isn't in you. It's in God. But for close to 26 years now, God has met all of our needs, taking care of all of our bills. He's giving us a new building in Jesus' name, right? And all of those things, He's provided us. When I didn't know what we were going to do, look at where we are tonight. It's because He is so gracious. But I receive that grace by believing that He is. Amen? Amen. We'll get into this further next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. I thank You tonight for these that are here. Father, I thank You that You want to bless every person that's here. And so, God, we just allow Your Spirit to move in our midst, and in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Right now, I speak to headaches, and I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over your mind, over your heart. We just come against anxiety in the people that are listening. I just ask you, Lord, to give peace to every person in Jesus' name. And Lord, we want to give you all the praise and all the honor for everything that you've done for us in the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus, my Messiah. Amen. Amen.